You don't need to turn to it, but before I start on my message, I want to turn to the book of John, and I want to read a few more verses. I'm reading from John chapter 6, beginning in verse 32, and here's what the Bible says. And again, this is Jesus talking. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Now, again, I'm in John chapter 6, verse 34 now. "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So in verse 35, Jesus said this, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." We didn't read it, but in verse 48 of that same chapter, he said the same thing, "I am the bread of life." In that same chapter, verse 58, the Bible says, "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Everybody's invited, as we talked about this morning, to partake of that bread which came down from heaven. Once we partake of that bread, our job is to become bread men. Now, that may be a term that some of you, because you're young, are not familiar with. When I was born, I lived the first 2 years of my life with my mom and dad in a flat upstairs over my grandmother's home on the east side of Detroit. I can remember we had a big porch that went across, and both front doors were on that front porch. You go in this side, and you went into my grandmother's house, and you went in this door, and it had a flight of steps that led up to the upper room. Now you say, do you remember that from being 2 years old? No, I remember because my grandmother, we moved and my grandparents continued to live there, and we'd go back and it was empty and I got to play upstairs. I remember the steps that went upstairs in the back from the basement. It was one continued flight of steps all the way from the basement all the way up to the second story. And on the back, there was a big screened-in porch on that second level that was my fort when I was a kid. Again, not at 2 years old, but when I went back and stayed with my grandparents before they moved closer to my parents. The only thing I remember from that first 2 years is a very vivid memory. I must have been about 2 years old or something like that, because I had this red wagon. And I thought it would be neat to ride that wagon down the steps. Not the back steps that went into the basement, but the front steps that went out on the front porch. It was summertime, and so I don't know what Ma was doing. Dad was working, but she didn't notice what I was doing. So I got in that wagon. I pushed myself down those steps, and it rolled. It rolled down those steps. I rolled through the screen door that was shut. I rolled down the steps of the porch. And if it wasn't for a big tree in the front yard, I would have ended up in the middle of the street. That's the only thing I remember. Now, when I was about 2 years old, we moved to the suburbs, okay, on the west side of town. And in that house, there was a milk chute. Now, again, if you're not familiar with a milk chute, it was a little metal door. It was about this big. And when I was young, like 3, 4, 5, 6, something like that, there was actually a milk and bread man that came 3 times a week. He would open that little chute and put the milk and the bread in that little chute. And then there was a door on the inside that my mom could open and get the milk and the bread out of that chute, never having to go outside. Of course, I had 2 brothers. We loved milk, and they delivered a lot of milk when we were growing up. Now, eventually, the milkman and the bread man quit coming, but that milk chute was used sometimes by my brothers and I when we got to be teenagers and we stayed out later than we should, and Dad, to make the point, locked the door because he wanted us to have to knock to wake him up so he knew what time we were getting in. And if you could open the outside door of the milk chute, and it was big enough that if you positioned yourself on an angle, you could sort of shake the inside door, get it to open, and you could crawl through, regardless of what time of the night or morning. I probably shouldn't tell you this. You'll lose respect for me. But you could, Aaron, don't listen to this, bud. But you could crawl through, and you could get in the house, and Dad would never know what time you got up. So when I say tonight that once we get saved, once we eat of the bread of life, that God wants us to be a bread man, that's what I'm talking about. Somebody that delivers the bread. Somebody that takes the bread of life that they have partaken of and shares it with other people. And so tonight, I want to talk about being a bread man. We read the story of a bread man over in Luke. Again, it was about a guy that had a friend come to him at midnight. He had nothing to set before him, and so at midnight he goes to another friend and borrows some bread, gets some bread, so that he can take back to his house and serve his other friend. Now, that friend that came, that needed the bread, represents the world. It represents people that needs to partake of the bread of life. And everybody in the world needs the bread of life. The bread of life, when Jesus said, hey, if you eat of me, you'll never hunger again. You see, we have a hungry world. The world is full of people that are hungry, and they don't know what they're hungry for. There's something missing in their life. There's a hole in their life that was designed and put there by God that only God can fill. And the world tries to fill it up with a bunch of other stuff, but nothing satisfies. Only a relationship with God will satisfy that hunger. And we've satisfied our hunger by coming to God, by eating of the bread of life. And so once we eat of it, our job is to take it to other people, is to be bread man for Jesus. And so from that story in the book of Luke, I want to make four observations that should be true about us in this job that we have of being bread man for Jesus, of delivering the bread of life to others. So, 4 points tonight, and again, I can't see the clock, so I'm at a disadvantage. I will not know when to wind down. So Chantel said she'd let me know. Okay, I'm glad I have such a responsive daughter-in-law. I don't know if you noticed, when we were singing together, she looked up at me and said, Reminded me of what Adam used to do when he was a kid. When we were sitting next to each other and I was singing, they would sort of move down toward the end of the aisle. I thought that's what Chantel was going to do tonight. All right, so 4 things about being a bread man for Jesus. Number one, a bread man rises early. In the story that we read, the bread man got up at midnight. You can't get up any earlier than that. That's when the day starts. After midnight. And so he got up early because his friend needed bread at that point. Listen, being a bread man for Jesus, we need to get started. We need to get started early. We need to get started now. People are dying. They are going to hell. People are dying without partaking of the bread of life. They need the bread of life. They need the bread of heaven now. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 13, the Bible says, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." I know people, and this is true of some people. Some people say, well, I need 8 hours of sleep every night. And those are usually the people that get 12, 13, 14 hours of sleep a night. Others say, well, I need my beauty rest. I agree with some of them. They need their beauty rest. But get it. If you need beauty rest, go to bed early so that you can get up early. You know, some people think the sun just pops up. They've never been early enough, get up early enough to see it rise. If you're in that category, I'd encourage you, Go to bed early tonight when you get home and get up and see that the sun doesn't just pop up. It gets up gradually. It raises itself gradually. Now, of course, I know that the earth turns and the sun is still and all that other stuff. In book of Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, the Bible says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The Lord's saying, look, we need to get at this task. We need to start right now. Start the day with the Lord, and all the day will go good. Seek the Lord early in life. Don't wait till late in life to seek the Lord. Don't wait till late in life to start being a bread man for Jesus. Blessings come with people that get up, get at it, and get busy. In Genesis 22, verse 3, and Abraham rose early in the morning. Genesis 28, 18, and Jacob rose early in the morning. Exodus 8, 20, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning. Joshua 3, 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning. Mark 1, 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Bread men get up early. Bread men get started early because the task is urgent. The task needs to be done now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There are people tomorrow that will need the bread of life. We've tasted it. We're never going to hunger again. The only thing that will satisfy their hunger is to eat of the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ. So get started. Number two, notice from this story, bread men don't make the bread. The man that had a guest come, that didn't have anything that set before him, did not go into the kitchen to cook the bread. He did not make the bread. He went to another source to get the bread. Mankind did not devise salvation. Salvation is a work of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if I ever invite you over to my house for a meal, you'd probably be well off to say, sorry, Pastor, I have something else going on. Unless I am going to purchase pizza or Chinese food or something like that. I am not a very good cook. Left to my own devices, that's why I always enjoy it when people invite me over, because I get a good meal. When I'm at home alone, my daughter works late. You say, doesn't your daughter cook for you? No, she does not. She does not. She cooks for herself, but she gets home at 8 or 9 o'clock, and that's too late for an old man to eat. And so I used to try TV dinners, but I haven't had those. So I usually have a bowl of soup, or I have a sandwich or something like that. And so I'm not very proud. Pride goeth before the fall anyway, Brother Steve, so no use for me to be proud. But I cannot point to my cooking and say, oh, this is something to be desired, because in most cases, it's not. Now, when my grandparents were alive, I used to love to take my college buddies home with me and have them eat of my grandma's cooking. When my mom was alive, I invited them to come over and eat of my mom's cooking. But my cooking is not much to talk about. But again, there were people in my life that I liked what they cook. I want to tell you tonight, I like what God cooks. Amen. I like the bread of heaven. Amen. I like the fact that God made it and gave it to us. And by the way, that's the way we all ought to be. There's nothing that we need to be ashamed about the bread that came down from heaven. It was prepared by God. It is just what we need. It satisfies the hunger that every single person has in their life. And we ought to say with the Apostle Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We don't have to make the bread. Salvation is not an invention of mankind. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We ought not to be ashamed of it, and we ought to share it and deliver the bread to other people as often as we can. And that's number three. My point number three, our responsibility, again, is not to make the bread. Our responsibility is to deliver it. There are hungry people. They need to hear the gospel. In some cases, if we don't deliver the bread, nobody will. And I'd hate to think that somebody that we know, that somebody that we have influence on, that somebody that we could share the bread of heaven with, would die and go to hell because we didn't do what God called us to do. Look, most of us here tonight, just about everyone here tonight, as I look around the room, as I know your testimony, there was a point in our life where we realized that we were a sinner. There was a point in our life where we realized there was a penalty for that sin, that we were condemned by God, separated from God because of our sin. There was a point in our life where somebody delivered the bread to us. They told us about Christ. They told us about the price that he paid on Calvary. They told us that if we prayed and asked him to be our Savior, putting our faith in him, believing in him, that he would save us. Somebody told us that. And shame, shame, shame on us if we don't do it to other people. You remember the story that was in 1 Kings chapter 7? The Syrians had laid siege to the city of Samaria. They ran out of food. They started eating donkey head stew. They started eating dove dung casserole. Appetizing, I'm sure. But there were four leper people that had leprosy that lived outside the city. They suffered from the famine. They suffered from the siege as well because they had nothing to eat. And they said, hey, there's nothing to eat in the city. Because we have leprosy, we're outside of the city, we can't go in and join them. There's nothing for us to eat here. We could go to the Syrian camp and ask for something to eat. Now, they may kill us because we're their enemy. But if they kill us, if we stay here, we're going to die anyway. So what have we got to lose? And so they said, we're going to go to the Syrian camp and we're going to beg some bread. We're going to ask the enemy, Arnie, sit down, I'm almost done. We're going to ask the enemy for some bread. And so that's what they did. They headed to the Syrian camp. When they got there, they came up to the outskirts of the camp, and it was strange. There was no sentries posted. As they walked into the camp, they saw empty tent after empty tent after empty tent. If you've read the story, you know what happened. God had caused the Syrian army to hear a loud noise. They thought that the Samaritans had hired another army, and that approaching army had made the noise. So without picking up their tents, without picking up any of their supplies, they just ran. They deserted the camp and left everything behind. And so these four men, again, that had leprosy, that were hungry because they had run out of food, came into the camp. They went into the first tent, and they said, oh, man, here's dinner. I mean, they saw all the bread they could eat, and I'm sure there were other things there, fruit that they could eat, and they just made themselves a feast. The Bible says they began to gather up some of the riches that the Syrians had left and went and hid it. And they went into another tent and found the same thing, into another tent and found the same thing. And then here's what they said. They said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And if we hold our peace, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. It's like we have walked into the Syrian tents. We have found the riches of heaven when we partook of the bread of life. I mean, we not only found life, but we found life more abundantly. And there's plenty to go around. You see, when God provides, we can take all we want and there's still a bunch left over to share with other people. And we need to say, like these four men did, this is a day of good tidings. This is a day of good news. And if we don't go share it with others, If we don't go share what we found with other people, then mischief will come. Mischief will come. And I think mischief comes to Christians that try to keep the gospel to themselves, because God will prick us and poke us, like he pricked the Apostle Paul before he got saved. God will prick us to remind us that we've tasted of the bread of heaven and we need to share that bread with others. And then number four, the bread man is always faithful and dependable. You know, all the time that bread man was coming to my house, I don't ever remember him missing a day. The day that there was supposed to be milk and bread in the milk chute, my mom would go and open that inside door, and sure enough, there'd be bread and milk in the milk chute. Now, I'm sure there were times where he might have taken a day off or times that he was sick, but he always got somebody to replace him. The bread and the milk were always delivered. Always delivered. Here we read again, going back to the story we started with in the book of Luke. Here was a man that had a friend that came and needed bread. All of us probably have friends that need the bread of heaven. He didn't make the bread himself. He went someplace else and got it. We don't make the bread ourselves. Salvation is not our invention. It's God's gift. And so we go to God to get that gift. And notice the story. The story is talking about persistence. When he got to his friend, and God, sometimes God operates this way because he wants to see how much we want something, how bad we want something. And so this guy went and knocked at his neighbor's door. Midnight. Just think about the story. Midnight. I tell you what, if somebody knocks on my door at midnight, I got a gun. And before I go answer the door, I'm finding wherever that gun is. I'm not sure exactly where it is. And I'm like Barney Fife. I think I got one bullet. I'm putting that one bullet in my gun. And before I answer the door, if you're going to come and see me at midnight, you better call me and let me know you're coming, or else there's going to be trouble. But imagine, midnight, knocks at the door, calls out, say, I have a friend that needs some bread. I don't have any. I need some from you. And his neighbor inside the house said, look, it's midnight. I'm in bed and all my children are in bed with me. Now, back in those days, they slept on the floor and the kids were spread out on the floor and the parents were on the floor. Yeah, you guys got it easy. You got beds. But they slept on the floor. And the guy said, I can't get up. If I get up, I'll wake up my kids. I'll wake up the whole family. Wake up the dog. Wake up the cat. Everybody will be. And I know that's not in there. I'm just embellishing a little bit. I know you shouldn't do that to the Word of God, but I'm trying to make the story alive for you. He said, go away. Come back when we're all up. And the guy said, nope, I'm not going to go away. I have somebody that needs some bread. And I'm going to stay here and I'm going to knock on the door until you get up and give me some. Oh, that we would have the same sense of urgency about the people that are in our life that need the bread of heaven. Now, when we go to God, we don't have to beg God for it, because his supply is bountiful and it is available to all. But sometimes we got to be persistent in getting it to the person that needs it. Like we talked about this morning, sometimes we got to pray and pray and pray and pray. And sometimes we got to witness and witness and witness. And sometimes we got to shake fingers like my grandma did to me in their face and tell them they're sinners, they're headed for hell. But the bread of heaven can make a difference. We need that persistence. A bread man is faithful and dependable. Let's be bread men for Christ. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you that for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the bread of heaven that we have partaken of. And Father, Jesus was so right. We've never hungered again. Oh, we've been satisfied with the bread of heaven. And I pray, Father, that you would help us set our eyes on those around us that need that same bread. Those around us that need to partake of that bread that you gave from heaven. They'll never hunger again either if they taste it. I pray, Father, you'd help us be the delivery people. you'd help us be the bread men for Christ. We'd share it, and we'd pray, and we'd deliver it, and we'd pray some more, and we'd bring them to that bread. We can't force them to eat it, but we can make sure they see it and understand it and know what's involved. Help us to do that. I pray tonight, if there is just one here, one that has never partaken of that bread, that Holy Spirit, you worked on them during the past few minutes. You've helped them to see that they too are a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is the only one that works. Would you just help them come? Would you just help them just receive Christ tonight, if that's what they need to do? If you've spoken to other people, I know we don't have an altar, but right where we sat, we can bow our heads and we can make some holy vows to you. So help us to do tonight what you've led us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray.